There may be some rude words and bad language, potentially adult themes during this podcast. If this offends you, please turn off now. And
waving everywhere, man, waving everywhere, man. See every foot and square, man. This is Glasgow Fair, man. Waving for Ryanair, man. Waving everywhere. Waving in Glasgow.
Welcome back, folks, to the Beyond Hampden Park spin-off podcast. Today, we're going to look back on Scotland's friendlies with the Netherlands and with Luxembourg. And more importantly, we'll look ahead to Scotland's opening game of Euro 2020, our first tournament in 23 years. Two guys who are buzzing their tits off for this one next week are John McClay. How's it going?
Good, can't wait.
Magic. And of course, Colin Brooke, how are you this evening?
I'm here.
Yes.
I'm finally here.
You're in the studio.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Boo.
We're getting Exeed on the phone. Thanks to the Tartan Specials once again for use of the theme tune. Let's get into it. Here's what we have to say. Well, lads, we're all together at last.
Yay.
How long's it been since we're in the same room or the same game?
Oh, a couple of years. Well, a year and a half.
At least. It's good to see us. We've had a couple of beers this afternoon and a nice lunch down at the lovely Fife Lodge Hotel. And we've just finished watching the Scotland-Luxembourg game. We'll get on to that in a minute. But boys, the first thing I wanted to really speak about, it's obviously the big theme of the last 2 years nearly. COVID had reared its ugly head. And usually it's benefited Scotland, but this week we were on the receiving end, and obviously seven players had to isolate. This could make the tournament a farce if this continues. Boys, what's your thoughts on it?
Aye, I think we've actually came out of it okay. We got it early, and if that's all we get for it, then I think we've done okay. But there's no way the 24 teams are going through without a COVID case, eh?
I agree. I think maybe this was probably the best time to get something like this. It's out of the road before the tournament starts. And like you say, we've benefited in the past, and who knows, maybe we might benefit in the games itself.
Mike McGarvey, a bit more careful on the Scotland squad if it's happened new. And yeah. Hopefully, I mean, Pierre John Fleck apparently is in a hotel room for 10 days himself. He's exercise bike.
He's got a bike.
There's no way he's on that bike in here. Hope there's a video like...
Comes out with big air muscles, though.
Strong wrists.
Just one.
Oh, dear. I suppose it could be a good idea. It's happened this early, but...
If England get it a four-hour game, delighted.
Oh, aye.
Will it make a difference?
Their B team's probably better. Oh, dear. Well, we've obviously completed our... friendly preparation. I guess in normal circumstances they might have played more in two games, but the two we got, Holland and Luxembourg, we'll take the Holland match first. I thought we played really well. I was buzzing after it. I came we drew, we probably should have won, but I was feeling very confident after it, Brookie.
Yeah, I just think it's probably above expectations for what I was expecting for that match. I think we played really well. It's maybe easy to say Holland are in a bit of a transition and they're nae the force they were, but they've still got a lot of good players. And
oh, aye.
I think we had some great individual performances, some great counter-attacking, which is going to be clearly a theme under...
Oh, it's probably play best.
Teams. But, I mean, the pressing, that, you know, high up the park, gave us our first goal, the energy and sort of hunting impact. So, no, promising, and that's where maybe five, what you'd expect, starters out of the...
You're probably right, so, out of the seven that were in COVID, five probably would have started, you would think.
Yeah, so, no, it was really positive, that game.
John, standouts for you, were you just as positive about that Holland game?
Aye, no, it was good to see it, and I was really glad that Robertson and Tierney both had really good games, and they seemed to be linking up really well, because there was a bit of a wee moan about the two of them playing, and folk maybe thinking Robertson shouldn't have played, which to me is completely ridiculous. But the run he made for a second goal was...
When you seen it back, brilliant. You didn't. When you saw it live, you didn't realise how far the ground that he covered.
There was a close-up of it when he ran for his own box. Aye. The hell why?
And he won a header first. He won a defensive header.
It was just a one-touch cross as well, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was
brilliant.
I think that's the way they've got to play, isn't it? I think Tierney's great in that role, in getting licence to go forward. It's a dangerous combo. I think teams are going to struggle against that too.
I think the two of them have worked out the best way to work it. I think they're just two really good players that are clever enough to to one sits and the other in goes, because a lot of the time Tierney's been higher up the pitch, which suits Tierney, and hey, if we can get the best out of Baith, then brilliant. I thought Henry did well in the game. He did himself no harm. He obviously got the goal.
Little pebble.
German pebble.
Yeah, I think there is defensive frailties, like they remain, but it was a
well taken goal. Striker's finish. Brookie, it's good to see Clark has found the magic formula for Katie and Robbo, isn't it? When other managers have really failed to utilise them both. And that's Tierney now played 8 on the bounce after Luxembourg, which is his most in a row for Scotland. And I would say he's our best player.
He's a tank, isn't he? He just bulldozes through whatever's in front of him, and I can't really explain how they work together. It just seems to be
clicks.
But we get a real chance to overload on that left hand side. The two of them, they seem to have worked out how to play together, and it's fantastic.
But obviously Henry's trying to do the same thing with a right back as well, because obviously the goal came for him bombing forward.
I think so. I think he... Well, that was the pressing high up the park. And but he stepped right out of defence. But I think the thing where it would work with him, like Tierney, he's really quick. Didn't realise before the Holland game just how quick he is. And to be honest, he would probably be now starting on that right-hand side of the three for me after that. If they can continue that high-energy pressing teams and hunting in packs, then you can allow players like Robertson, Tierney, McGinn, whatever, to take advantage.
One down point might have been Holland's first goal, John. Proper holding midfielder there maybe cuts it out.
I think it was probably Turnbull that left a man, although Depay had probably come in, dropped deep and had gotten a bit of space. But a decent holding midfielder, you would like to think would have tracked him. It was a bit...
You kind think Turnbull didn't take his chance, did you?
No, I think because he never got on against Luxembourg, that was his chance, and he was probably playing a wee bit out of position, which didn't help him. He was probably more comfy further forward, so I don't think he did enough to earn a place in the first Euros game for me, I don't think.
No. What about you, Brookie? You called give Forrest a chance at right wing back, I think, didn't you? How do you think he took a chance there for a potential?
No. Well, I was more thinking Fraser. I suppose you could interchange the two of them in that position, but I would expect that to happen maybe more likely if we were chasing the game, or we were the dominant team looking to break someone down, a bit more of an attacking option. But Stevie O'Donnell did well. I think, based on what I've seen in fitness, Forrest probably more likely to start for the bench, I think.
He looked a bit off it. He shanked a crossway and he goals in that, didn't he? For you, John, I think you said to me when we were speaking through the game, Christie maybe his worst game for Scotland.
I'm normally a big fan of Christie. I think he's probably been, along with McGinn, our most dangerous player over the last year and a half. I think it was his worst game, and it's probably came at the worst time for him, because with Adams on the go, I think he might just lose that place to
that starting berth.
Although I really hope we go attacking, because if you win a game in the Euros, I think you qualify.
I think 3 points will get us through. I think three draws or one win.
Almost seems with Christie like the season has just been like downhill. It's just been petering out.
It's just been one of that season.
And that's probably a lot to do with the level he set the year before and his performances for Scotland. But he's not been at the races for Celtic, especially in the last sort of half a year, and Scotland as well. It just seems to be on a sort of way down and sort of level. So I wouldn't be too disappointed if he was the one that was maybe attacking up with one of the Adams or Dykes or Fraser, but Maybe from tonight's selection, you can see.
Probably still the Infa, you could say, was closest to McFadden with that Maverick sort of streak that can pull someone out of the bag.
He's always got something, and but he'd probably admit he's not been at the same level as he's
the previous year.
That's what I was going to say. I think his confidence is doing on the last year, but I still feel with him that, like you say, he's got that wee Maverick moment for he tends to create a chance or get a chance in a game, even if he's playing poorly. So I'm not sure if Fraser does. If he's a game can pass him by, a game can pass Forrest by, but I think
he'll offer
something.
And he's got that bit a bite about him, hasn't he? He's not afraid to trot back and put in a tackle when he needs to.
Aye, he's 100%.
It's a shift in you.
But about, I think we were in agreement that Armstrong had a pretty good game and should be pushing for that third midfield slot.
Yep. I was delighted he started because he maybe wouldn't have if we didn't have the boys out with COVID. Mm-hmm. But I was quite pleased with the lineup that Clark put out because he could have went more defensive than he did. But
he did well.
Aye, and it worked. So
starter?
I would.
Would you start him over McGregor?
Definitely.
I think that's a position because I think McTominay and McGinn are
they're
stick
nailed
ons.
On.
If we're speaking about that three in the centre, they're stick on. So there's one up for grabs, and I guess nobody's nailed it down. I think Clark will probably pick McGregor, but I think Armstrong's just around at a time. He's unlucky. He's had a great season for Southampton. So,
and Ken, if we're saying that Adams is a stick on, he plays club football with Adams. That's another kind of fat link. I think seems to be a good link at club level. Is that something we need to utilise?
Possibly, if they're going to go that way. But the team I would pick just now, I've not got Adams starting.
Okay.
We'll
get to the teams. We kind of let Holland match pass, I think, mention of the stinking referee. He had a honker of a game, and the free kick at the end for we lost the goal just summed up his performance.
The boy Depay had him basically. I had control of him every time. He was just backing in and then just sort of throwing himself to the ground. It was embarrassing. And
I hope that's not going to be indicative of the standard of refereeing. I mean, I think I called in the group that it looks like they've thrown in the Portuguese Dave McLaren into that game. It was honking.
Or our Podmaster contestant for later on.
Aye.
He looked like he was starstruck with Depay. He was like,
he was probably asking for his autograph in the tunnel after it.
Swapping shirts like a referee greeting in the Champions League. That was pathetic.
Obviously, Marshall was one of the COVID absentees, and Gordon never really seen his chance either. For me, it was a good free kick. There's no tacking away for that, but to Naven.
Still moved yet?
No, he's still standing there. He's stuck there. He looked wooden. His kicking was pretty poor. I can't. It's never been great. But for me, I'd be worried if Marshall got injured.
And equally, I don't think Marshall's in great form. Although he had a good save
in the Luxembourg game.
If they're watching Gordon, I think it's definitely Marshall or we're struggling.
Gordon's a absolutely fantastic shot stopper, and you know. There wouldn't be many teams that have got a second choice keeper at that level. There have been questions over his ability with the ball at his feet and getting dealing with passbacks and kicking and stuff like that in modern football. It's just a part of the game keepers need. But Gordon did make a good save near post at one point. He didn't. I can only assume he was unsighted for the Depay free kick because he didn't move his feet. It was at his side. I mean, it was a good strike, but
to me, as a goalie, you've got to make it look like you're making an effort, even dive after it's past you, to just stand there. Because when you look at a replay, his eye is whipped in, but it just goes right past him. It's not like right in the corner. And he's supposed to be protecting that side.
It was his side, absolutely.
He might have broke a hip if he died.
Luxembourg game, a typical pre-tournament friendly, wasn't it? Score, you could tell. I mean, again, McTominay and Gilmore both took whacks, but you could tell that Abdi was saving their bodies for the tournament, I think.
It was absolute pish. We'll take a 1-0 win. And
The Red killed it, really, didn't it? Because they just put the two banks of five, basically.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got to practice these situations as well. There's a chance in tournament football we could come up against 10 men and have an hour to play against them or something. So good practice for that, but Again, it wasn't much of a spectacle. Yeah,
I had to laugh at the possession stats at half time. It was Luxembourg 53, Scotland 47.
They started well, eh?
The first 11, 12 minutes we were saying, oof. The boy Rodriguez was giving us a bit of trouble. Like. And Gilmore flashes, I mean, obviously he's took a heavy whack. If that's concussion, that could put him out, basically out the tournament.
Outrageous tackle. I kind of
should have been a red.
I mean, slow motion. Gilmore's got his eye on the ball, hail way. The other boy has a couple of looks to see where Gilmore is, and then he smashes shoulder in his face.
I think Gilmore, John, in his 10 minutes or 15 minutes, he did more than McGregor did.
Definitely. I think Gilmore's. There's definitely something there. I think this Euros just might come slightly too soon for him to be considered a starter for Scotland.
But that little run he did right near the start of the half, he beat a couple of guys and flashed a shot past the post. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, other midfielders could do that, I don't think. McTominay, Armstrong, McGinn, but the ones that he's vying with, like McGregor, I didn't see him doing that. Like.
No. I just think Clark's going to take the risk with Gilmore. That,
as I say, he'll need to go get tests, wouldn't he? And that could be him out of tournament, because if you go off with concussion, it's a 2-week missing games, isn't it?
I thought it was Mayer just protecting him, but hey, if he's got concussion, that'll be that.
If anybody wants to protect him, they could maybe tell him to shave that shitey goatee. Like, that is honking. Like, I would look like if I tried patchy and they joined up at some bits.
Maybe just not got his first shaver yet.
Nathan Patterson got his debut. Obviously missed the Holland game, but little flashes again. Yeah. He could push O'Donnell. I think during the tournament.
I think going forward, he's better than O'Donnell. No question, but I have question marks defensively, I would say.
If we have to win a last game, though, Brookie.
Oh, if we've got to go for it, then he's definitely looks like a more attacking option, but.
I'd play Forrester for him.
Yeah, I think that's maybe more likely. You'd probably end up with a Forrester or a Fraser there. But I thought Gilmore and Patterson both really impressive for the time they did have in the pitch. They both sort of got, you know, shots away, beat some people. They were keen on the front foot, getting sort of wanted to beat people and stuff like that and commit something to attack. And that's all positive. It's good. Young players having that confidence. So can only be a good thing going forward.
Somebody we've been very critical of over Nagist O'Donnell, Handley. I thought it was, again, it was Luxembourg, but he was tidy enough, was he, at defence? Is he probably going to be that central defender?
He was playing right of the three to start with, which I didn't see him playing right of a three yet.
No.
In the centre for me.
What about Cooper in the first game? You think he's...
I thought he did okay.
He's good defensively in the Holland match.
Has he got a chance of making that central role?
Yeah, it's to him.
You think?
And then McKenna, he's played a decent chunk of both games as well. He's come
up. Wanna play?
I don't think he will.
No.
I don't think he will. I think Henry Cooper and Hanley are the three for the two places alongside Tierney.
Yeah,
I think two of that three. You think Gallagher is first four? I think Gallagher looked half a leggy to me at night. Looked very slow.
I think he did.
And again, if a boy Rodriguez is quick, it was playing at night.
Decent player.
Anybody else you think pushed their Y in for a starter for the friendlies?
I think we could probably, and I guess we'll come on to it, but we could probably pick 9 or 10 of the starting 11. There's maybe only one or two places that are, and one of them is that sort of who plays alongside sort of Tierney in defence, and then who gets that extra spot in midfield next to McTominay and McGinn. But you could also argue which way are we going to go up front as well. You know,
Dykes the trampoline touch the last couple of games. Like, I've been that impressed with him. You have, because you love him.
He's just a big bully. He just throws boys about. Nobody enjoys playing against Lyndon Dykes. But then tonight I thought they linked up in spells, but it wasn't didn't set the world on fire against Luxembourg.
Link up for a goal though, John?
Link up
for a goal and for a sending off, so they probably did okay.
Okay. his touch is just terrible, and he missed a good chance, isn't it? But if it's about McTominay, he keeps missing fucking headers for Scotland all the time. Like,
we missed a lot of chances. Probably three headers that we probably should have scored out of three of them. Like, Yep. McTominay's just got a 50p.
Adams snatched it in at the back post and hit it into the ground. I thought the wee bit more time, it was at a good height.
Good to see him get another goal under his belt. That's him scored against two of European giants, isn't it? Fairos of Luxembourg. Nisbet got a goal against Holland though. We never spoke about him. You were quite impressed with him, Brookie, I think.
Yeah. You got to admire the confidence. So he said, you give me a game, I'm going to score a goal. So
couldn't have missed that ball for Robbo, though.
It was a wonderful team goal. Aye. Absolutely brilliant counter-attack, which we hope is going to be a theme of our play. But he didn't just yet. He came on, he got at, scored his first touch. He was winning headers. But also, there was a move where Turnbull got the ball, beat a man, came in, rolled it into Nisbet, who then played it back into Turnbull's feet, and he narrowly missed, just put it out of bar. And I thought, he's holding defenders off, you can see him back and in, sort of holding his own. I really like Nisbet, he's probably third behind Dykes and Adams. But
some minutes, you think, from the tournament?
He's good. I mean, he's a threat, and he's got something about him, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Boys, I think we will now. Right, lads, it's that time. We'll stop there, and we'll play some Podmaster. Right, boys, it's that time again. It's the second heat of Podmaster. Obviously, the grand prize is the Colin Henry signed and framed shirt that we're giving away. Today's prize will be the same as Heat 1. Heat 2 will win a crate of tenants and a personalised pint glass. So we've got two contestants ready to go. We have got Henry Bruce. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Raring to go?
Aye, we'll see how this goes.
Now, rumour around the street is that you're a referee or a linesman.
Boo.
Aye, I'm doing it. Refereeing the Highland League,
that's
kind of where I'm probably well known.
Okay, but you did the juniors. Have you shown John here a few yellow cards?
Aye, I've had a few run-ins with John over the years.
Okay, and on line two we've got Andrew French. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm good, how are you?
Nae bad. You obviously used to Bide and Bath, didn't you? Far you at now?
Living in Carlisle now, just over the border in enemy territory.
Okay, but you still follow Scotland regularly?
Aye, so you can imagine the intensity going on right now.
Brooke, you had a question about your breather, I think, didn't you?
Aye, your brother was Johnny, a guy who used to be able to run about 10 miles in 3 minutes. Is that your brother?
Johnny's still running about 10 miles in 3 minutes.
Uh-huh. Jeepers. Right.
He's just a wee bit further south than me.
Now, you can't how it works. We've explained it off air. So you'll each get 10 questions. Each question is worth 3 points. The bonus questions are worth 6. Total of 39 points on offer. Person with the most points will win. John is now going to toss a coin. Henry, you were on line one, so heads or tails?
I'll go heads for myself.
Okay.
It was heads.
It's heads. So Henry will go first. Andrew, you're going on the mute until he's finished, but you'll be able to hear what's happening, okay?
Okay, dog.
Hold the line. Okay, Henry, are you ready? I've got 3 sets of questions that you can choose for, okay?
Okay.
You can have gaffers, gaffs, goals, 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 or missed Euro penalties.
I'll go for the goals.
Goals, goals, goals. Okay, I think that was Brookie's question set this week. Okay, we're ready to go?
Yeah, let's give it a bash.
Okay, obviously question 3, 6 and 9 will have clips, and then we'll ask a question, and we'll get the clock on if you're taking too long. And if you time out, it's too late, you'll get no points for that question. Okay, we're ready?
Hi.
Here we go. Question 1. England played 6 matches in total at Euro 88 and Euro 92. How many of them did they win?
I'll go for 4.
It was 0.
Oh.
At Euro 92, who played 2 1-2s around the English defence before finishing off a magnificent team goal which sealed England's exit for the group stage of the tournament?
Struggling for this one. I'll hit a pass, I think.
Pass. It was Thomas Brolin for Sweden. Okay. Here's a clip.
He's onside. Schmeichel's off his goal line. What trick can he come up with this time? Oh, my word! Oh, my word! That was a world-class goal.
Who scored that iconic Euro 96 goal for Croatia against Denmark?
Struggling with these old names.
It was Davor Sukar, famous Croatian striker. Okay, who was the top scorer at Euro 96?
I'm going to go for Müller for Germany.
It was Alan Shearer with 5 goals. Okay. Who missed England's penalty in the semi-final of Euro 96?
I'm going to go for Southgate.
That's right, it was Gareth Southgate. Well done. Question 6, we've got a clip for you.
Still McPherson. Here comes Paul McStay! A goal for Scotland!
That was Paul McStay opening the scoring for Scotland against the CIS at Euro 92. But what was the final score in that match?
Euro 92. I'm just going to have to go for a guess, but
it's 3-0 Scotland. Correct! Pulled that in out of the bag. Bonus question as well. Who were the two nations that co-hosted Euro 2000?
Gonna go Germany and Holland.
It was Holland and Belgium. Close. In Euro 2004, who lost twice to the shock tournament winners, Greece? Once in the opening group stage match, and then again in the final.
Gonna hazard another guess. Germany.
It was Portugal, the hosts.
Nah, didn't remember that was the final.
Question 9 is your last clip.
Control two, and he's found across Al Robson Kanu. He's turned brilliantly. What a goal that is!
Maybe more in your era, Al Robson Kanu scoring against Belgium in the quarterfinals of Euro 2016 against Belgium. But what was the final score in that game?
2-1.
It was 3-1. Wales, close. Okay, last question. Who won the Golden Boot as top scorer of Euro 2008?
Gonna go for Miroslav Klose for that one.
It was Spain's David Villa.
Nah.
Okay, John, what is the total scores there?
It's so far the record of the series, 9 points.
And 9 points, so that's the highest score we've had so far. We've only done 2 heats, but it's going upwards. Well done, Brookie.
I'll take that. There's a few guesses there.
Well, you got the good name for Paul McStay, Brookie, yeah?
Yeah, I got the Scotland one right, but no, good effort, Henry, well done.
And that was Brookie, means Brookie's got to mark up new sets of questions for next week.
Roger.
Okay, Henry, if you hold the line now, we'll get Andrew back on and see if he can beat 9, okay? All right, Andrew, you there?
They were quite hard, weren't they?
Aye, we're trying to make them a wee bit harder this series for a Henry strip. Like, you think, how many points would you have got in there?
I think I got one more question right than him.
Okay.
He got one right that, didn't he?
Oh, well. Okay, well, we'll see if you can beat 9 on your questions. Okay, there's 2 sets of questions left. You've got gaffers, gaffs, or missed Euro penalties.
Oh. I'll go with the gaffers, gaffs.
Okay, these are my questions. John's right in the clear for next week, making up the questions. Okay, we're ready. We'll get going.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Question 1. Who knocked England out of Euro 96 in the semi-finals?
Germany.
That's correct. Which Scotland squad member of Euro 96 wore the number 15 shirt?
Oh, I don't know. Stuart McCall.
No, it was Ian Jess, local loon. Okay, here's a bonus question with a clip.
Yeah, genetically, we're behind. In the last campaign, we were the second smallest apart from Spain. So that means we have to pick a team tonight that kind of try and combat the height and strength. Even at that, we couldn't combat their height and strength.
Who said that?
Gordon Strachan.
That's correct, yes. Okay, who did eventual winners of Euro 92, Denmark, replace at the last minute in the tournament?
Yugoslavia.
That's correct, well done. Which player in the Scotland Euro 96 squad played his club football in France the following season?
Craig Burley.
No, it was John Collins who moved to Monaco straight after the tournament on a Bosman. Okay, question six is a bonus question.
No, the only thing that angered me was one of the players who didn't play, his agent released the team in the press, or no disrespect, but they wouldn't have known if we were playing with a striker or not.
Who said that?
Oh, I have no idea. I'll hazard a guess at Mark McGee, but it's definitely not him.
No, it was Craig Levine talking about the famous game that he played 4-6-0. Okay, question seven. Who has more Scotland caps, Scott Brown or Graham Souness?
Scott Brown.
That's correct. Scott Brown has more caps than Graham Souness.
Yeah.
Question eight. Who won the inaugural European Championships in 1960?
1960. Oh, Italy.
No, it was the Soviet Union.
Oh,
okay, last bonus question.
Time. And then he got clean bowled and he didn't walk.
And what?
Yeah, and one of the players said, who's right into his cricket, Stuart Kennedy, he said, boss, why are you not walking? He says, there's a wicket over there, a wicket there, there's a wicket there, there's a bale here, a bale, and a bale there. So why are you not walking? You can't be out in the first over.
Talking about Alex Ferguson, but who said that?
Who said it? Oh, I don't know. Right, Brian McClure.
No, it was Alex McLeish. He was talking about Alex Ferguson cheating at cricket when he was Aberdeen manager. Okay, very last question. Who was the top scorer in the Euro 2004 tournament?
Oh, 2004? Oh, I don't know.
That's out of time. It was Milan Baroš of the Czech Republic.
Oh, I wouldn't have got that anyway.
John, the scores on the doors.
A very respectable 15.
Whoa, 15. So that's, again, another record high score on the series. Well done, Andrew. I'll just quickly talk to Henry. Henry, did you hear that?
Aye, good score. Well done, Andrew.
Unfortunately, you've lost out to Andrew there.
I think my questions are slightly easier.
They're only easy if you get any answers, though.
They were definitely harder. I was struggling with them.
We gave you hardings because you're a ref.
I'm just happy to get the better of a ref for a change.
Henry, thanks for coming on.
There's something wrong, I don't get a barrage of abuse to know that meant, so I'll take that to me.
Henry, cheers for taking part. We'll say cheerio. No. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thanks very much.
Bye. Bye. Andrew, well done. That was a good score. 15, showing a bit of knowledge there. I think you managed to get at least one of the bonuses as well, which I was helps.
Aye.
So you'll be available for the semi-final, is it? You're up against Nermal. Do you mind him?
No.
Chris Newton, he was a goalie.
Chris Newton.
He was a year above us at school.
No, I didn't think.
Well, you're up against him in the semi, so that'll be further into the tournament. But I'll drop you a message, and we'll send you your Heat 2 prize in the meantime, so you can enjoy it with some of the games.
All right, that's brilliant.
Brilliant. Okay, we'll speak to you then, Andrew. Cheers.
Right, thanks very much. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Decent scores this week, boys. Do you think the questions were a bit easier than last week?
Second set were easier, I think, yeah.
I think so.
I would say I would have got maybe 9 of the 10 questions in the second heat.
You would like to think so if we're Scotland fans, though.
Aye, fuck yeah.
Okay, well, let's get back to the look ahead to the Euros. We're now, though, going to look forward to the Czech game. And we have got a Czech expert with us, joining us, former Aberdeen, Hibs, Partick Thistle, Hamilton goalkeeper. Also played out in his homeland and in Bulgaria, I think, Brookie, did you say?
Yes.
Thomas Cherney is going to join us and give us a little analysis on the Czech Republic. Look ahead to the game, how they might line up and what they think of Scotland. Thomas Cherney, how are we doing?
I'm great. How are you guys? You good?
Very good, thanks. Good.
Great, thank you.
Brookie will be fanboying because he's a big Dons fan here.
It's nice to talk to you, Thomas.
No, the same here. Nice talking to you guys.
So you're obviously going to give us a bit of info on the Czech Republic ahead of our game against you next Monday. But you obviously retired from football. You left Aberdeen this year. How's life without football? Are you missing it?
Oh, it's been fine. I still stayed involved at the club, and I've been coaching with Barry Robson and Scotty Anderson, the under-18s.
So okay.
It's been Scott, great to be.
Scott is a lad from Banff who we know.
Right. So, yeah, no, he's great. Obviously it's been made a bit easier because I'm still able to go to the football pitch, you know, very often, and still able to kick the ball and everything. So,
no, that's good.
It's never easy to stop playing after 20 years in professional football, but I think the transition has been made a bit smoother with that kind of state involvement, and I'm really enjoying it. So it's been fine.
Brilliant.
It's funny, Thomas. You retire and then almost immediately Joe Lewis gets injured for a while, and the standing goalkeeper for Aberdeen gets a run in the team.
I was waiting for so long, I know. just a bad timing, wasn't it? But my knee just was absolutely knackered, so still struggling with it a wee bit. So I know I wouldn't be able to play.
Did I read that you're away to become a PE teacher?
That's right, yeah. My postgrad course starts in August.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll try to kind of...
John here did PE teaching back in the day.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. And again, that's another thing that I think helps with that transition from playing.
Yeah.
When you have a bit of a clarity in terms of what you're going to do next. So I've been preparing for this for a few years. So,
Brilliant. But you're settled in Scotland?
Yeah, no, we are. Yeah, we're settled in Aberdeen. Luca just, he's in primary one in Aberdeen, and we got a two-year-old daughter as well. So after all the moving, I think we've done 10 moves with my wife in the last 10 years. So I think we were ready
to settle down.
And quite happy in Aberdeenshire. Yeah.
Brilliant. So you're from the Czech Republic, but you've lived in Scotland for a long time. So will there be any mixed loyalties come next Monday when the Czechs line up against Scotland?
No, of course there will be. Yeah, obviously I got a lot of family members who are Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a little bit difficult when these two teams meet, and we met each other quite often in the recent history.
Yes.
So I'm going to the game actually with my wee boy. So
okay.
I'm really excited about
brilliant.
That. So
us three are going to the game as well. We're buzzing for it. It's been a long time since we were in a tournament.
No, 100%, and long time since, been able to actually go and watch the game.
I know.
So I think everyone is very excited about it. Me and Luca have matching kilt and matching Czech jerseys. So
brilliant. Well, hopefully we see you down there.
Yeah, no,
we'll say hello.
That'll be great. So obviously excited about this game, because it doesn't happen that often that, Czech Republic and Scotland meet during the European Championships in Glasgow. So it's quite a unique opportunity for myself and being able to take my son as well. It's
brilliant.
It's really exciting, yeah.
Thomas, we were really surprised that Lucas Crobat, who we had lined up, decided to bottle it, but at least we've found somebody who can actually give us some real input on football.
Oh no, you'll be disappointed. Yeah,
does he bottle it a lot, Lucas? Or are you surprised with that?
I'm not surprised at all. No, that type of person. You know. No. Come on, Lucas has been great.
He's a good guy.
Just,
yeah.
I think he was quite keen to pass it on to me.
Yeah, definitely. We actually played with Lucas, and he was a great teammate and great for the squad. Very fit guy, even though he's very old. But,
good guy. I've known him since I was 13, so it was a long, long relationship.
Okay, we wondered what the connection was. He is very good at making plum brandy, though. He caught us very drunk one night.
It's quite strong, isn't it?
Oh, it's horrible.
No, but he's the reason really I ended up in Scotland, because I came over to visit him, and that's how I ended up in Hamilton. So
amazing. Yeah.
And if he wasn't in Scotland, I don't think I would ever come. So I'm grateful to him.
Ah, great. Then you represented the Czech Republic at most of the youth levels, didn't you? Is that is that a real, like, the proudest moment you can represent in your country?
100%, yeah. I was, you know, all the way from 15s all the way to 21. It was quite a successful group, because we qualified for the three European, you know, championships, 17s, 19, and 21 level. Some good memories. I remember we got a bronze medal and under 19s. We beat England 3-0 in that tournament.
So
I know you would appreciate that. But yeah, that was probably the highlight of my international.
Who would have been in that England team then?
I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. Yeah. It was probably a couple good games. It was kind of 1984, 85 kind of.
Okay.
Years, so, don't mean the year. I mean the players born that year.
Same as
I'm not that old.
No, I was going to say, like, no wonder you're retired.
No.
Okay, Thomas, the guys have got some questions ahead of the game about the Czech Republic squad and what they think about Scotland as well. So I'll hand you over to Brookie, who's going to ask you a couple of questions.
Yeah, Thomas, I'm just wondering what sort of, back home in the Czech Republic, and also within the sort of press and stuff, what are the expectations for the Czech team at this Euros tournament?
I think, especially after the last result against Italy, the expectation have kind of dropped a bit.
Was that 4-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 4-0 beating, and I think people are a bit apprehensive now about the form in which the team is going into the tournament.
Yeah.
We all know we are realistic. It's not the same team we had back in 2004, for example.
Milan Baros and that,
If Pavel Nedved, literally, if you look at the team at that time, every single player was playing for the, you know, one of the biggest clubs in Europe, whether it was Petr Cech in Chelsea. Rifalushi was a cap. Ilosicki at Arsenal. Rifalushi was a captain at Atletico. Galasic was captain at Ajax.
Yes.
He had Vic Jankola up front.
He was horrible to play against.
We have Jankulovski in AC Milan, Grigera and Juventus. The team was unbelievable. So that's not the case anymore. No. I think we still have a relatively talented group of players, but it's not that kind of, you know, world-class team.
Your man Suchek looks like a good player, though, at West Ham.
Yeah, Suchek, so far, they both had a good season at West Ham.
Yeah.
So, obviously, they are expected to be, you know, the kind of strong players on the team. Suchek, kind of, a bit of a leader as well. But, of course, I think the way people look at it is the game against Scotland seemed to be crucial for both teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't think draw would be a good result for either of the teams. I think both teams will want to win the game to give themselves a chance, you know, because the group is very, very difficult one. I think getting out of group would be considered a big success, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. But as I said, after that, you know, last result, people are slightly less optimistic than they were, you know, before.
So, Thomas, you know, in Scotland, as you know, we would say agree with you there that there's obviously not the household names or as many of the household names that there used to be in, you know, teams gone past for the Czech Republic. Uh-huh. But so we would know the likes of, you know, Darida and Suchek, as we've mentioned. But who else should we look out for in this tournament? Is there any either sort of European-based players or younger players coming through that we should be
I believe we are, you know, should be strong in the goalkeeping department, having, you know, Tomáš Václík from Seville and Pavlenka, who's had a great season in Bundesliga.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like Kral in the midfield, who's Moscow, but he's linked with, I think, clubs in England for the summer. I like him as a player. I think Patrick Schick. He's done okay as well in Bundesliga this year. Mm. But it's no, you know, that kind of world class type of players. There are some very, very good players. But as I said, none of them been, you know, stars in any big teams along Europe. But so. Out of, you know, those you probably are more familiar with, as you said, players who played in England, Soucek and Soufal, I think, then Patrick Schick, we hope he will mm-hmm. hit a bit of form, because we need that. I think we miss that, really, quality up front. And I think the biggest problem at the moment seem to be our centre backs. With most experience, Kudela being suspended. We had a couple of injuries there.
Okay.
And the players, you know, who probably will play, kind of struggled for form for last few months. And it kind of showed in that Italy game as well. So that's a bit of a worry, I think, for the team.
Thomas, I was going to ask, we've asked about the Czech team. Who would the Czech team be looking at the Scotland squad and thinking that's a danger, man? And do you think that Czech Republic are favourites?
I think it's pretty evenly matched in terms of, you know, Scotland will be at home at Hampden, so mm-hmm. that gives them a little bit of an edge, I would say. In terms of the squads, I think just based on paper, I would say it's quite evenly matched. Although, obviously, recent history, I think those games is difficult to judge because the last couple of games were a bit...
The COVID.
You know, with the COVID mm-hmm. and everything, is obviously Scotland had two good results against Czech Republic, but both games were affected by COVID, you know, especially...
That's the reason we qualified.
So I think the one in Olomouc was completely, you know, in terms of, you know, we missed pretty much the whole team, so it was like a kind of B team play. Right. And then in Glasgow, we missed the manager wasn't there, and there was a couple of players missing as well. Mm-hmm. And in those previous games, you know, the Czech team kind of usually edged it just slightly. So,
what you're saying is, use our favourites.
Very, very, very slight favourites, I would say. Yeah, very slight favourites. But if you put in percentage, I would say 55, 45, or even less. So,
we don't like that numbers in Scotland.
No.
Last question before we maybe get your score prediction.
Okay.
If your son becomes a player, is he playing for Czech Republic or Scotland?
We've got this ongoing joke in the family. So, because also my wife, her father is half German. So we said,
surely they play for Germany.
So he said, if he's an amazing player, he'll play for Germany. If he's a good player, he'll play for Czech Republic. And he's a bit average, he might end up playing for Scotland. But that's my wind-up joke to the Scottish family. They don't like it. So, yeah. But I'd be more than happy if he played for any of them.
Brilliant. So I'll pick up on one there that maybe got missed. Who are Czech Republic fearing in the Scotland squad, if anybody?
Yeah, no, I mean, of course, you have Andy Robertson and Tierney, you know, who played for, you know, big clubs in England.
Yeah.
So they will definitely be you know, wary of them if they both play. John McGinn, obviously, he seemed to have a good form scoring goals for Scotland. Yeah. He's the one who seems to be a danger man coming in from midfield. So I think they'll be the three they'll be probably most wary of. And there'll be other players who they might be slightly less familiar with. But, you know, I think I watched the game against Netherlands you know, the other night, and mm-hmm. and Scotland looked strong, looked organised, and you know, if they play in the same manner, they, you know, they can play with any team at the moment. So
yeah.
I think Czechs would have, you know, watched that game very closely and well, give Scotland a lot of respect.
We actually work better, I think, when we do play on the counter and teams attack us. So
yeah.
Hopefully the Czechs are going in thinking they're slight favourites. I think that'll work in our favour.
Yeah, no, I think that's a style, you know, Scotland manager,
just Clark
prefers, yeah. And he's done brilliantly with Kilmarnock, with that style of football, and obviously mm-hmm. in terms of results, it has worked for Scotland so far, and I think... you know, it's Scotland are not easy to play against at the moment, so
yeah,
very, very aware of that.
I was going to ask you, Thomas, I know you're still involved in Aberdeen, so do you think Andy Considine's been really hard done by not making the squad, and how has he reacted to it?
Well, I've not spoken to him since the squad was announced, but I think he would be gutted. You know, I thought he probably deserved just about to be, you know, involved in that squad, especially the part he played towards the end of the campaign, and just being part of the playoffs and all that. I thought he would have deserved to be part of it, and he would have brought, you know, a lot of kind of experience, and he's a very professional guy, so it could have been good influence, but obviously always difficult to if so many players who want to be part of the squad, and there are some difficult decisions made, but I felt gutted for him, yeah, because I really wish he was part of the team.
If you had to pick Considine or McKenna, who would you have picked?
Oh, that's a terrible question. No, I would have them both.
I was going to ask you there, Thomas. You obviously worked closely with Young McCrory and Lewis Ferguson. Do you think we'll see them playing for Scotland before long?
I think they both have a real chance. Yeah, for sure. This, you know, if you look at all the kind of upcoming Scottish players, they are. There they play both for under-21s alongside each other, so that would suggest, you know, they are that kind of club, and they have that type of mentality, I believe, as well to play in the big games, and so I do believe they have a real chance to be regular part of the Scotland squad in the future.
Great stuff. Is Steve Clark somebody that you've had much dealing with in your time in football? Is somebody you know, or?
Well, in terms of, my father-in-law is a big Kilmarnock fan and a season ticket holder, so I heard about Steve Clark a lot in the last few years. And, of course, I met him in numerous games when I was playing for Partick Thistle and then later at Aberdeen. And of course, he has done an amazing job both at Kilmarnock and so far with Scotland. And I think it's a type of manager Scotland probably needed stabilize the team, and there's, you know, you kind of see what the team is trying to do, and you always kind of see with the teams he has managed, and I think that's important to have that sort of identity, and he has certainly done that for Scotland and it's given Scotland chance, you know, really.
Yes, for sure. First tournament, first manager to qualify since Craig Brown. So it is
an amazing,
fantastic.
You know, it's an amazing achievement given the recent history of Scotland's, you know, national team.
That's right. Right, Thomas, that's been fantastic, and thanks for coming on. Before we let you go, we'll really need your score prediction for the match.
Tough one, but. Of course, I want both teams to do well in the tournament. Ideally, I would like both of them to get out of the group with England missing out. That's my kind of scenario.
We'll take that.
I would say Czech Republic top, Scotland second, Croatia just to get Ajax on the third spot, and England 0 points last.
Sounds good to me.
That would be good. But for that first game, I'll have to go 2-1 Czech Republic.
Right, cut them off.
It has to go with my homeland. I really wish it was a classic game with lots of goals.
5-4 would be good.
Something like that, but I'm slightly apprehensive because it's such a massive game for both teams.
Yeah,
it's so much is at stake.
It's likely to be a draw, I think.
I'm kind of worried it might be a bit cagey because what's at stake. I think
nobody wants to lose. Nobody wants to lose the first game. No,
so it's going to be a tough game for both set of players, but I think exciting for everyone all around and something I'm really looking forward to, you know, going down to Glasgow and just, you know, and especially when you are a player, you don't get to watch too many games, as a fan. Mm-hmm. So this will be first game for me in a long time to go to the game as a fan, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, amazing. One last one, it just popped into my head there. I know that... we mentioned there that Scotland will be at home, albeit it's a tournament, but Czech Republic are basing themselves at home now and flying in for games. Do you think that'll have a detrimental effect?
Yeah, I think I'm really disappointed, but I think it was through the Scottish government, basically having much stricter rules than any other country.
Yeah, because even Scotland are based in England.
England, yeah, because I think they were told, I believe, that if one player tested positive, they would have to all self-isolate, basically. Mm-hmm. And the whole tournament for them.
Yeah.
So that's why they're taking that precaution. I think they worked for months setting up the base in Edinburgh, haven't had everything in place. And then last kind of minute, they had to change the plans, which was a bit of a headache and will make it slightly more difficult to fly from Prague.
Yeah. And Croatia are doing the same. So hopefully that'll help Scotland.
it might, and you never know. But it's definitely not been the ideal scenario for the Czech team, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And also for the Czech fans as well, obviously that's how I got the tickets, because the people who were lucky enough to get their hands on the tickets are now, it's become impossible for them to travel to Scotland with the quarantine and having to pay for all the testing and everything. Why I wonder how many, you know, those Czech tickets will end up in Scottish.
I think quite a few of them have already by what we're reading on the Tartan Army Facebook groups and things.
I can imagine. So, because I'm taking some of my Scottish friends to the game as well. So I think there will be a big advantage in the stands for the Tartan Army. Yeah.
Thomas, thank you very much for that. I really appreciate it. I know you were away for your wife's birthday this weekend, so thanks for making time for us.
No worries. Lovely talking to you, and maybe see you on Monday.
Yeah, we'll give you a text and see what you're doing.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Good evening.
Bye-bye.
There we go. That was Thomas Czerny. Nice guy.
Yeah, lovely guy.
And hopefully he's not happy on Monday night, though. Hopefully he's loons greeting. Unless he supports Scotland.
Well, hopefully he wants to be Scottish.
Aye. Okay, Doc, boys. Obviously, that's the first kind of game out of why. But with tournament in general, we're buzzing for it. It's like brilliant for us fit on the TV 3 times a day, and Scotland being part of it is just so much sweeter. I mean, being absolutely buzzing for World Cup 98, all the TV adverts and that, and it was brilliant.
Yeah, it's fantastic. That's the first thing you said there that I agree with, is that just the tournament being the TV. I've never really enjoyed FIPA that much over the whole lockdown without the fans and stuff. It's been difficult. It's a real grind to watch some of the games. I'm absolutely buzzing. I saw the FA Cup final with fans and stuff at it, and I enjoyed that a lot more. So I kind of wait for this. Is it Turkey Italy on
Friday? First game, right?
Yeah. I just kind of wait to see it, and then obviously we've got I've basically got 2 weeks off of work. I can't tell you how excited I am. I'm just
human. I mind me on a boot.
No, just brilliant. I've got tickets now to all three games, and I just cannot wait to get involved. Honestly, it's been brilliant.
Glad you're joining us, and you've sorted out our hotels and travel and
Mr. Logistics.
You've sorted us out, so we're buzzing new enough.
It's been so long for Scotland, obviously, but just it's felt so long since our last tournament. Just that extra year without a tournament. Summer fit, but you can't beat it. It's in Scotland being there, brilliant.
Looking beyond Scotland, well, Scotland first, let's say, do you think we've got a real chance of getting out of the group? I think 3 points we said would be enough probably to get one of the third places to get through. Can we do it?
Aye, I think we can. Yeah. I mean, it looks as though you just need one win out of three.
One win or three draws.
We're not going to get a better chance. A third place team can get through. Two or games are at Hampden where, even though it's a depleted crowd, they're mostly going to be Scottish. Aye. I mean, we will never get
a better chance. Looking at a tournament wider, who's your favourites? Who do you think will win it?
For me, France just now have to be the favourites. On paper, the squad is pretty frightening. But did you watch after the Scotland-Holland game, the rest of the France-Wales game was on? Wales were down to 10 men, but I turned it on and it maybe was because I just watched Holland versus Scotland, but I was watching France shift the ball a bit and I was thinking, God.
Their squad is amazing.
Wow. So I think they are probably my favourites.
Okay, John?
Stones. Poulin's Benzema into that already talented bunch of players. Yeah. It's hard to see past them, but it's quite rare that a team will win one tournament then win another tournament. Spain did it a while ago. But I think Portugal have got a good squad. I think there's a chance they could retain it. I really hope they didn't, because I'm not a big fan of Ronaldo. But
I love him.
It'd be a fair story if they won it again. Belgium are in the mix, aren't
Belgium
they?
Belgium, they're going to get to later stages. There's no doubt about that.
I think Belgium have just missed their chance. I think they're just a slightly aged.
Is De Bruyne
squad
out of the tournament?
No, he's
it'll be a mask on or something.
Maybe, it'll be one of the big teams. I kind of really another
Greece. Shocks, Turkey, you were maybe thinking, I've got an outside bet.
Turkey had a couple of great results, obviously, in the Nations League stuff, and obviously very talented squad. But I read somewhere that if you go back all the different Euros, it was sort of a group stage. Then they got to the next round, quarterfinals, the last time they played semi-finals. So if they keep that progression going, who knows, but I
beat in the final.
There's no danger of England.
No.
You have to. Right, okay.
They're in the mix, surely.
They've got. If you look at their attacking players, they've got a frightening amount of attacking talent. They really do. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about going down to Wembley in a Scotland game, and you can have conversations where you're saying, yep, we could be. England could be out of sight at half time. We could be three or four down. You know, boys like Sterling, Foden, whatever could blow us away, and that could happen. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But similarly, I don't fancy their defence so much, especially if the boy Maguire doesn't make it. You could say that they could leak goals. They're not settled defensively. They switch for a three, a four, back.
I don't think they've got a settled starting 11.
No. And I'm still not convinced by boy Southgate, I have to say.
They're not great at right back either, eh?
Just the 14 right backs in the squad, isn't it? Well, I think next pod, you know, next couple of pods, we'll probably speak more about the England game. We're going to get Paul on as well, like, give some more analysis on England.
Probably one other team I think could potentially have a wee shot could be Denmark. They're in a cracking run of form.
We've not mentioned Italy, Spain, Germany. Writing them off?
I wouldn't write them off, but neither of that teams are particularly.
There's a lot of transitioning going on with some of the traditional top nations, Spain, Holland, Germany. There's a lot of they're changing the
France are at the top of their game, and you mentioned Benzema there getting added to that score, and he's on the nominations for Ballon d'Or this year, hard to see past him. Let's do some predictions before we end for Scotland's three games new. These obviously they might change, but certainly the Czech game, let's lay our predictions down. I'm going 1-1.
I'm 1-1.
I am going 1-0 Scotland.
Ooh, nice one. I've got for my other reasons just now, they might change before the games, but I'm saying England game 2-2, Croatia 1-0 Scotland.
I'm going
for a 5 points.
Wowzers, I'll take that now.
That's bold.
I'll sign up for that.
Far does that make us play if we finish second in the group?
I think that might win the group, actually. We'll be playing at Wembley in the next round.
Yes. John, predictions?
Well, I'm 1-1 Czech. I think England will beat us 2-1. And then I think we'll draw with Croatia. Maybe a 1-1 again.
And out?
2 points and out.
I think Northern Ireland got three in the last tournament and 2 points, so it is doable, but three is a safe number, I think.
It would be typical Scottish to be one of the third place teams and
didn't make it.
One goal or something that got chopped off illegally. Rookie predictions?
I'm going 2-1 against the Czechs. I think we'll score against England, but unfortunately lose. So I'll say probably 2-1 or 3-1 down to England. And I think we'll beat Croatia. They're my tip.
We're unbeaten against Croatia. They're all
my
games
tip
played,
to finish bottom of the group. I think they're the flop of the tournament. Just
Fingers crossed.
So I think we'll go through once.
Well, so we're here and it's finishing third or second then.
Yeah.
We're optimistic tonight. It could change next time.
Book your flights for Copenhagen, second place. Here
we go. Right, boys, we started. In fact, how do we think we'll play? Fits our predicted lineup quickly. For
just Clark's check. Or ours, Clark.
Well, do we think Clark's going to play? Okay. Marshall and goals, obviously. Yeah. Kieran Tierney's definite.
Yeah,
I think Hanley and Hendry.
Hanley and Hendry for me. Yeah. I wouldn't be disappointed to be Cooper and Hendry either, though.
No.
Or Gallagher.
I agree with that.
O'Donnell and Robbo, it's going to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd say Patterson. McTominay.
Yes.
McGinn.
Yes. Yeah.
I would like Armstrong. I think it'll be McGregor, I think it could be either of them too.
Be McGregor.
I'd be the same. Armstrong, ideally, but likely McGregor. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the basis of the last few games, probably Adams and Dykes. I wouldn't be disappointed with Adams and Christie or Adams and Fraser.
I think he'll go Christie Dykes.
I think Adams and Dykes as well. I think Christie is just a bad bit of form at Rangers.
And then he missed that game of night, so maybe he's injured. That's another thing against him. Cooper obviously missed it as well. All right, just to finish, we started speaking about COVID, so let's end with COVID. If it happens, boys, if COVID wipes you to hell, Scotland squad, what do you think?
I'm taking my boots, Dean.
We'll call the fans in, but far do we call up? Far do you think our 11 would be against Czech Republic if the hell squad got wiped out by COVID? Well, we've made a team up together, haven't we?
Yeah.
So...
SOS McGregor.
McGregor's got to be the goalie.
Yep.
He's probably our best goalie anyway. So we'll stick with the formation, the back three. Andy Considine?
Yeah. He's unfortunate to miss out. So
Why else would we have us alongside him?
Christian Daly.
Current players only.
Well, he's probably good. Ryan Portis has been the squad. So Portis, he'd come in. Yep.
I think this is the weak point for sure. Like
Welsh for Celtic, you think?
Welsh. The only other options, maybe Kerr at St Johnston.
Welsh for Celtic. Aye, okay. Wing backs, I think you've got Palmer or Rooney, yeah?
Sean Rooney.
Aye.
I think Palmer would need to be in a squad.
I think he'd be outdone by.
I thought Rooney, I really like him. I think he'll get a decent move soon.
Hickey left back.
Hickey, aye.
Yep. Right, okay. SOS Scott Brown for Holder.
Yeah, why not?
We need a bit of experience.
Okay. Captain.
Why not?
Probably got to be.
Aye.
And then far away, and you love Ryan Gold, so he's got to be in.
Yeah, he'll be in. And as we spoke about earlier, if you mentioned him, Lewis Ferguson. Possibly. Yep.
Happy with that three?
We'll give him a nod.
Yep. But the other means it might maybe Shinney for experience. But
Graham Shinney could be the Holder. Aye, he could be more defensive.
Up front.
Griffiths, aye.
Got to be.
With the battering ram, Patterson.
Aye, yep.
I'd go that.
Stevie Fletcher, bench.
Threat for set pieces for Patterson, yeah, that's for me.
Burke.
Ole Burke, or bench?
Bench.
Mm-hmm. Aye, okay.
So we're doing all right, actually. Okay. That's like,
apart for the defence.
It actually sounds a bit like a Craig Levein team or something.
Or Bertie Vokes team, maybe. Right, boys, that's been magic. I think that's a pod in the can, is it? What do you use for a night?
Yep.
So brilliant. Why don't we get the, what is it, the Dirty Culture band that you had on last week?
Hi.
We'll get them to play us out again, see if we can get some momentum for them ahead of the Euros. Right, we'll see you all after the Czech game. Is that right?
Yep. Morning after.
All right.
Yep.
Cheers again, boys.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.